Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. We now turn to a very important aspect of halacha, which is the idea of interest. Interest is called ribis in the Torah, and this is Simon Samachay, the 65th section in the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. We're going to divide this up into two sections because it is rather long. This could take the months and months and months to study. We're just going to do a brief overview to get a sense of this as well. We're going to look at six basic concepts today. Concept number one is classic ribis. Concept number two is early and late interest. Concept number three is favors. Concept number four is exchanges and collateral. Number five is extending credit, and number six is selling debt. So we're going to take a look at some of these basic principles when it comes to ribis as well. The Torah tells us that we're not allowed to extend ribis or to charge in ribis or to pay interest to another fellow Jew. In general, this is not prohibited when it comes to non-Jews, and that's not a penalty to the non-Jews. In fact, generally speaking, when one lends money, it makes sense that when one lends money to be able to charge interest, because one is tying up one's money, allowing this person to invest it, so for that you pay a fee. That's generally the way it works. The Torah is telling us that when it comes to your brethren, there is going to be a dispensation where the Torah prohibits that regular way of the market, which is charging of interest. Turns out that throughout the course of diaspora Jewry, Jews were allowed to be money lenders. That was one of the very few jobs they were allowed in their disenfranchised existence as diaspora Jewry. And then they were always blamed for this as well, but they happened to be, that was one of the only things they could do in a secular society. This is one of the reasons why there were many expulsions of Jews as well. After relegating them to be moneylenders, then the society blamed them for holding on to the debts, many times government debts. And when, upon expulsion of the Jews, their assets were seized and the promissory notes were burnt, and thereby allowing more liquidity for the country and for the governments. Unfortunately, it seems to be a general pattern in Jewish history. However, when it comes to Jew to Jew, there's no interest which is allowed. The Ketzer points out that there are six Isurei D'oraisa when it comes to lending with interest. So, for instance, they are, the Torah tells us, Eskas b'chol esitan le b'neshech, you cannot give your money in neshech, marbis lo titan ochlecha, that's the end of the pasuk. Then again, that is in Sefer Vayikra. Then it says, Al tikach mito in neshech v'sarbis, lo yeh k'noshe, lo sisimun olav neshech, and lifnei iver lo sitan michshol. There are six prohibitions when it comes to lending with interest. When it comes to a person who's borrowing, there are three prohibitions where it says in Sefer Dvarim, lo sashich lo achicha lo sashich, again, lifnei iver lo sitan michshol. And if even, let's say, the person who is writing the promissory note, the sofer, even the witnesses who sign on it are also held culpable because of lois simun olav neshech and lifnei iver. And even the sarasur, even the agent who is the go-between setting up this loan, is also considered culpable of lifnei iver. So it's very serious about this as well. The Ketzer points out that one has to be very careful when it comes to ribis, when it comes to interest, because, you know, the average person whose moral conscience is working correctly avoids stealing. You realize that it's that cutting corners, defrauding people is a bad thing. Most people have that conscience still ticking. But when it comes to ribis, people rationalize, I'm giving them an opportunity, I'm giving them money, they can invest, they're making money. So it's a favor, I should earn money while I'm doing this. And therefore people rationalize to themselves doing this and will often transgress very significant Isurei D'oraisa. This is a very hard area in halacha where it actually makes a difference. It's not now just do I go out for davening? It's now affecting the pocketbook. So therefore the Ketzer says we have to be very careful when it comes to this. So a few basic questions. We're going to look at classic ribis first. What is the case of classic ribis? The Torah prohibits. This is when I lend from you money, and I stipulate at the time of the loan that when I pay it back, I'll pay back more because I'm paying for essentially the rental of the money, which is for that time. That is ribis d'oraisa, and that is prohibited. What happens if there's no stipulation? So that wasn't made, but at the time of the payment, when the loan matures, then I pay back more. That is still considered ribis, even if there's no stipulation. What happens if there's no stipulation, but at the time of the payment of the loan, I said to the lender, I say to you, can I extend the loan for another 3 months and I'll pay you a little extra? That is ribis as well, because what essentially you're doing is you're paying more for the time. That's called ribis. What if the borrower gives the money which he says as and he says it's a gift. You know, I'm paying back my loan of $5,000, and I'll give you a gift, like, you know, $500 just as a gift to you. That is still considered ribis. What happens if the lender erroneously took the interest payment? So is it done now? Does it need to be returned? The answer is yes. Ribis needs to be returned. It is not allowed to be kept. What happens if the borrower in such a situation waives it and says, I forgive it? He may waive it, and the lender does, and the person who was the lender does not need to force him to keep it. Okay, let's talk about the next situation. This is early and late ribis. So it's called ribis mukdemes and ribis mu'ucheres. So can I give a gift to somebody I want to loan from in the future? So if you explicate it that it's for a loan, no. That is considered ribis mukdemes. But if you don't explicate it, you just give a small gift. A small gift is fine. But if it is a big gift, it is a problem as well. Can I give a gift to the lender after that? That's before the loan is paid up. What about if I want to give it after the loan is paid up? So I pay back my loan, and then I say, here's a big gift. The answer is no, that's considered ribis mucheres. That is considered ribis even post facto. Can I lend money to someone in order to extend them a loan in the future? So meaning I'm going to lend you money, and then I know that in 6 months' time, I'm going to ask you to lend me money. Is that allowed? The answer is, it depends. If the future loan that I'm hoping to ask for is more money or more time than I lent you, then it's a problem, because essentially the payback for my loan, I'm getting back my money and a favor called a loan, that's going to be ribis. That second loan is the ribis on my first loan. But if the future loan is the same amount and same time, it's a dispute as to whether this is asr, and one should be machmir, says the kitzur. However, what if I lended someone money without a future bias? I just said I'm lending you money, and it turns out that 6 months from now, I do need money, so I ask money from you. Is the person allowed to extend a loan? In that case, if it's the same amount of time, same amount of money, it is fine, even though that person is swayed by the favor that you did him earlier as well. Okay, let's go a little further. What about favors? This is a new concept. A borrower cannot do favors for the lender during the period of the loan because it's considered an extension of ribis as well. So what is the kind of favor I do? It's something that I regularly do. So every Rosh Chodesh, I go over and buy a cake for my neighbor. I happen to have borrowed money from my neighbor. May I get them a cake on Rosh Chodesh? The answer is yes. I'm allowed to do things I usually would have done, but I'm not allowed to do things I would not usually done, and even ones I would usually done, I cannot do if it is public. What is public? Public means to say lending my lender a house or house help, a servant or somebody that's going to help them. That's considered public. So let's say I am borrowing money. I'm not allowed to let you use my summer house during the period of that loan, because a house is considered public, but I am allowed, even if I'd usually do that, but I may do small favors that I regularly would have done because we're friends beforehand. What about going out of your way to greet the lender during the period of the loan? So one is not allowed to do this and to do more than one would have done beforehand. So if one usually sees somebody in shul and says hi, and they're now one has borrowed money from them, I'm going to still go say hi. But if I didn't speak to them whatsoever, I'm not allowed to go do that. I'm not allowed to go out of my way to give them extra favors. What about praising? So one cannot praise somebody that one would not have praised before one took a loan from them as well. Can the lender ask for favors from the borrower? So let's say the lender says, hey, look, you know, now that we're dealing with each other, can you just, you know, find out such and such information, or even non-monetized amount information is a problem. The lender may not ask the borrower for special favors, even something as simple as asking for information as well. What about giving a job to the lender? This is also a problem. And so one may not do that as well. That's also considered a favor. What about customer referrals? Igros Moshe says this is also a problem, meaning to say all these are things which otherwise I would not have done, but because I owe you money, I'm doing it for you. That's a problem. And finally, the last and hardest one is, can a borrower say thank you for the loan? That should be a basic decency. There's a dispute between the Leita Achronim as to whether thank you is considered a favor or the lack of thank you just be a basic ingratitude. And therefore, there is a debate. Some say one can, some say one cannot. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that one is allowed to, let's say somebody gave a person a loan to write a book, to write a sefer. One can write in the front of the sefer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will repay those who do chesed for others, and this person should be repaid from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is all true. It's not saying thank you, it's just acknowledging there is a din v'cheshbon for good and kind people. We move to our next concept, our fourth concept, exchanges and collateral. So basic. Can I lend a measure of grain to be paid back a measure of the same grain? The answer is no. And the reason is because the price of grain always shifts, and it could be that I'm going to be paid back more than the value I lent you as well. Ooh. So how do I ever lend grain to other people who I need? So one way is to set a price for the grain. So instead of saying, I'm lending you this grain, I need to be paid back grain, I'm going to say, I'm lending you grain, which is the value of $100. I need $100 worth of grain when you repay me, so therefore you've capped it, and it's not going to be more. Another way to do this is if the borrower has some of that grain already, then it's considered, even if it appreciates in value, it's considered like it was appreciating on his own terms as well. And similarly, if the price of this grain is standardized, it's regulated in market, then there's no problem of this as well. What about lending one type of grain to get paid back a different type of grain? This is never allowed, because even if there's a fixed price, even if the borrower has some of that grain, because ultimately there's always fluctuations that I'm going to get back more, and depending on the market and the season, that I'm going to be getting back more than it was that I extended the loan for. If I lend money on collateral, right? So I get to keep something of yours. So I'm lending to you money, and I'm keeping your field, your house, your seat. How does this work with ribbis? So the amount of the benefits should be diminished or deducted from the payment of the loan, so it's not considered ribbis. I'm getting extra from the loan as well. What happens if the deduction is lower than the market rate of the rent? That is fine, as long as the lender is not renting it back to the borrower for himself or for money as well. And there's lots of questions to come up when it comes to collaterals, and shaila should be asked in these situations. We look at our fifth concept today, and that is extending credit. So, basic question, can I sell an object for a higher price if there is a payment plan over time? So I'm going to say to you like this, if you buy my item now, I'll give you it to you for $10. If you pay me back at $1 a month, you can pay for 11 months, which means ultimately he's paying $11 for it over the course of time, and he's essentially getting, he's paying more for the time. So this is a problem because the higher price you're paying is essentially repaying a loan. You're paying more for the extra time, and rather than having to pay it up front. Is this true all the time? The answer is no. If this item is a fixed price in the marketplace, that's where it's an issue. If it's not a fixed price in the marketplace, you can extend a higher price for paying back over time, as long as you're not charging more than a sixth of the price as well. What if the buyer needs cash? So what he does is he commits to pay for an item immediately, and then he resells it for under its market value right away. So like this. So I need money right now. So I say to you, I'll buy your bicycle, and I'm going to pay for it. Usually bicycles are at $500. I'm going to pay I'll pay you $500, but I don't have the money now. I'll pay back you in a month. Then I sell it to somebody else for $400, giving me $400 cash. Now, in a month's time, when I have to repay you, I'll pay you back the $500. That's a problem. That's not allowed. If the intention when buying it originally was to resell undervalued to get cash liquidity, because essentially you're paying the extra $100 is for that time that you're buying in order to get cash. We go to our last concept today, and that is selling a debt as well. So let's say I am the lender. I have a promissory note to get repaid by a particular person. Can I sell it to another person for under the value during the term of the loan? The answer is yes, because the promissory note is considered an item with market value, and the seller is essentially selling it for lower than its market value. Why? Because he wants to avoid the risk and effort and all the problems of having to recollect loans. But the buyer is buying at undervalue because he's going to have to exert effort in order to get more money as well. That's totally fine. Who gets the responsibility of collection? So it has to be that the seller is losing all rights. It's only the buyer who has all the responsibility. Otherwise, it's not really a sale. What if the seller sells the promissory note to the borrower himself before the end of the term? So you owe me $100, and I say, look, it's halfway through the loan. I'll sell it back to you for $90, and you can essentially pay out and get out of your loan early. In that case, not a problem either. But what happens if the person needs cash? So let's say I am in need of cash. And so I say, I'm going to write a promissory note to you, and that I owe you in 3 months' time, $100. And now I'm going to sell it to you for $90 now. So I created the loan and then created the sale for it. That's a problem. That's really essentially borrowing money and borrowing it and paying it for the extra time. That is ribis. But if the loan was from somewhere else, that's when one could be able to sell it in such a circumstance. As you can see, there's a lot of complicated issues that arise when it comes to selling, when it comes to ribis. And that's why it requires a lot of thought. This is the first section of Hilchos Ribis. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.